Hi, and welcome to Enchantment, a Dragon Age Let's Play podcast. I'm Manny.
And I'm Brandon.
And this is episode 12.
12.
12 days of Christmas, we've done that.
Just say it enthusiastically. This is 12.
This is 12. Yeah. Brandon, what did we do last week?
Last week, we became a knight enchanter. We can take a spectral sword and slice people up. And we also, we did the soulless mission, right?
Yes.
That's it. Oh, we met Dagna.
Oh, we did meet Dagna last
week. Which was two games in the making. Yeah, that's like that's something we've been waiting for the entire series, is to someday see Dagna again. We didn't even know it would ever happen, but it did.
She's doing great. She's older now. She talked about Stavon a bit, and it was very emotional.
Yes.
But yes, and that's, I think, was that where we left off? Or we left off
We left off after becoming a knight enchanter, yeah. So now we can slice and dice. We're stronger than ever.
We're the strongest we've ever been.
And we're starting this episode just figuring out what to do next, because we have a few missions. We have the whole Empress Celine thing. We have the Hawk thing. So we have options.
Oh, my God. Yesterday, I was the most laziest person. It was
What'd
me.
What'd you do?
Nothing, really. I play a little bit of God of War, and I watched an hour video on Cats.
On Cats?
The movie and the musical. It was quite entertaining, though, because now I think I hate the movie more than I ever did.
More than you already did? Why?
Okay. The audacity...
Ooh, Sarah, you look great.
Ooh, I like that. Keep that on her.
The audacity of what?
The audacity of the fucking studio. To say, oh, you know what, let's have the actors sing the songs.
Oh, look how great he looks in this.
Ooh.
Dory, put that in amazing. There. Okay, yeah, sorry.
The actors, So, you know, it was like how they did Les Mis, where the actors kind of sang on set without a pre-recorded orchestra.
Uh-huh.
And they did that so, like, the actors can act the songs out. And they can add their things. So, these actors would change the fucking tempo on a whim. So, when the orchestra had to play... The song was sped up or slowed down at random points.
So they had to, follow the tempo of the actors? They didn't have, a fucking metronome or anything to keep them on track?
No, the only time they had a metronome is, when the dancers,
Should I give Vivienne this shitty outfit?
Oh, no. She might be evil, but she's not trash.
So keep her in this?
Yeah.
What a difference.
Between that and that. Remember the song where they were dancing on the train?
Yeah.
That was one of the rare times where they used a metronome. Because it was done by the dancer, and the dancers have to be on beat.
Right, because you can't just fucking dance at your
own. And that's why the roach song is even worse, because the roaches are not even on sync with the song.
So the next thing to do is to go to Crestwood and meet Hawk's warden ally.
Oh, yes. I remember we had to do this.
But first, I'm going to talk over here, because I see a mission marker thing. Is it Blackwall I have to talk to? So we change people's inventory. We figure out that we want to go to Crestwood next to do the Hawk-related mission. But first, we're going to talk to Blackwall, because he has, a mission marker on his kind of head.
And I feel like we don't usually talk to Blackwall either.
No, he's just kind of there. I feel like Blackwall has just been a very, inoffensive, supportive person. Like, whenever we talk to him, he's just like, oh, I love this place. I don't know.
It's like, this place is great. I like it.
Like, last time we talked to him, we went on the ramparts, and he was just like, look at this place. It's awesome. I'm so fucking happy. Like, I don't know.
What is he?
He's generally...
Like a dude bro? Like, he likes violence?
I don't think it's that. I just think he's just so supportive of the cause. He's just so happy to be here. But we talked to him, and he's woodworking and making one of those rocking horses.
This is just—it's something to keep their hands busy.
Oh my God, you're like a little fucking little horsey.
You're like a Juan Swanson.
He's like a Geppetto.
I suppose you've earned my loyalty and girlish enthusiasm.
Oh.
You are who you choose to follow.
You're just brimming with girlish enthusiasm, Blackwall.
Someone told me that once. You're here now, a Grey Warden. It worked out. I suppose
you do great
it
for
did,
yourself.
Didn't it? And I think I've chosen the right person to walk with.
Thank you. You're always welcome.
I like that you call Blackwall Ron Swanson, because that's what he feels like most of the time.
He does, right? It's it's the whole aesthetic, and now he's even woodworking.
Yeah. It's like, I'm just brimming with girlish enthusiasm. And it's just like, it's a completely like...
Yeah, no, like the emotion. The like juxtaposition of his demeanor versus how like how he's feeling, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. This doesn't end in him giving us a mission, but it's still a nice conversation. I think the mission that was above his head was just like when we find elven artifacts and he's just like, "Oh, thank you."
And it led to this cutscene.
Yeah, I think this just happened. He just also happened to have a cutscene to talk about.
But now we go to someone who we love to talk to all the time. Our Josie, our Josephine.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so helpful that her study leads right to the war room. Because like whenever you want to do something, she's just right there. Always there to grab your attention away.
How do you solve?
Should we talk to Josephine?
Yeah, let's see how our girlfriend's doing.
It's a cutscene.
I must speak with you.
What is it?
You want to give me a hug?
I must explain something first about the Montpellier's fortunes.
You're poor!
Remember you said your family had been forbidden from trading in Orlais.
It's devastated our finances. The Montpelliers have, in fact, been in debt for over 100 years.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
I'm not giving you a loan.
Listen, this is not socialism.
Can I help? Yeah.
Marry is there anything me. I can do?
I negotiated a chance to reinstate the Montpelliers as landed traders in Orlais.
Don't know what that means, but sounds like a great idea.
I've just learned my carriers were murdered.
Who did it? Let me kill them.
Do you have any idea who murdered them?
Leliana made English.
Leliana, that bitch.
What will being seen with me gain the Comte?
You're the herald.
The Comte will drop hints at parties. He's to meet with an important visitor. Allies and rivals will take note. Mm. But if he knows who killed my people, I ask that we indulge him.
If it helps, I'll go.
If it helps you, anything for you.
I'll meet this Comte with you.
Thank you, Inquisitor. You are too kind.
This one does lead to a mission. So, see, we didn't get it from Blackwall, but we can always count on Josephine to give us something to do.
I mean, we could always count on Josephine for anything because she's a great person. And just a great friend.
She is a friend and maybe more.
She could become a best friend.
She'd become an even better friend. And she has, like, people coming after her to get her money. And she tried to, like, send a negotiator or, like, send a message through a carrier or something like that. But then the carrier people were killed, which is very dark. I don't know.
I thought you were about to say a carrier pigeon was killed. I'm like,
no, not a pigeon, a person.
A person. Both would it's be equally dark. As disturbing.
I would hate that. Like, what if I'm sending just, like, a letter to someone and they kill, like, the mailman? The mailman has nothing to do with this.
It's an innocent bystander that has nothing to do with this. It's fucked up.
It is fucked up. And so we have to figure out who killed the carriers, who's invested in this and in not allowing Josephine to get out of this rut. And so we have to meet Josephine and Valroyo to talk to a Comte who's supposed to know more about the situation. So we get ready to head on over to Valroyo, our favorite beautiful location.
Should we do this first, now that we've already started the rabbit
hole? Yeah, we've already started.
If we're going to meet someone fancy, we need to bring our fanciest of people.
Okay, so Vivienne.
Vivienne.
Dorian.
It's just a bunch of mages.
Oh, shit, no. I forgot that.
I mean, I doubt we're going to fight if we're in Valroyo, but...
Let's bring Cassandra.
Cassandra. And Cole to read his mind.
And Varric. Let's bring Varric.
But he could read minds, man.
He looks like shit!
All right, Josephine, hi.
Do you know where this noble wanted to meet us?
Why couldn't we come here together? His mansion, not far
from here. We can't take Cole anywhere, Brandon.
You're so adamant.
Look at his hat, Brandon. We're going to a fancy place. I've learned this the hard way in real life, Brandon. That really? If you want to go into a fancy place, you have to look the part.
You had to look the part. Did you go somewhere fancy and not look the part?
Okay, so I went to, there's this club. Not club, like a rooftop bar.
A
rooftop bar in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And we've attempted to go twice to this place. First time I was dressed for the occasion, but Collectively,
what is dress? What does that mean?
I was like I was.
How do you
was,
dress to the occasion?
I was, you know, in a nice, you know, button down shirt, lovely shoes, mm-hmm. some slacks, yeah. very nice.
Ooh.
And they told us that we would have to pay $2,000 worth of drinks collectively as a group.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, fuck no. And then we went to a different rooftop bar that was actually much better. It was in a nicer. It was like very nice, and I saw the Empire State Building.
I love rooftop bars.
They're so good.
Rooftop like areas in general, they're so nice.
They're so nice.
Like if I were to ever live in the city, I would love to have a place that has like a rooftop deck.
Yes, where you could have like company over, like, oh, let's go on the rooftop deck.
Yes.
Look at the skyline.
It's so lovely.
But then the second time I went, we could have gone in with no...
like set amount that you have to spend?
But I was wearing sandals.
Did they not let you in?
They didn't let me in.
Oh my god!
Because of my sandals. I was about to go buy shoes. Because one, it wasn't like a prepared thing we were going to go to do. Because I went in like, because you know, it was a summer.
You were just like, let's go.
It was a summer. I was wearing my sandals. I was wearing shorts. And I was wearing a good, like a nice shirt. A presentable shirt.
But they were like, you can't come in here with open toes.
With open toes. Look at you. The riffraff. Mm-mm.
And with so like a SpongeBob zoom in.
Yeah.
Of just like disgusting feet.
But then we ended up going to a Dave and Buster's, which you know what was probably even better because it had games.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, they have an arcade. They don't have that in rooftop, whatever the hell.
Yeah. I've never been to the rooftop bar, but after both experiences, I probably will never try.
Yeah, they lost a customer.
They lost
an enthusiastic customer.
I was excited. It looked like an awesome bar to go to.
But now I feel bad because Cole loves his hat.
Yeah, he loves his hat. But remember, we're dealing with a stuck-up, disgusting country where they wear masks.
And not even masks for safety. But we go into Val Royale, or rather we go into this person's like mansion. It just looks like a fancy old-timey mansion. And you have...
There's flying buttresses. There's columns. There's
busts. Head busts. There's curtains. There's curtains, for God's sake. I don't know.
It's very... Orlais is very distinct in how fancy it is. We're used to, like, the stone walls with, like, the bricks and everything, and it looks very rustic.
Even the fancy places in Ferelden are still kind of, like, drab, you know? Yeah. Whereas this is, like, so fancy and...
Like, this is a fairy tale castle. This is a fucking fairy tale castle. And this is probably just a place for lunch.
I feel like, yeah, this is just like, this is where I take my guests. It's impossible for a country to have this lavish of an upper class without having like a super wide and oppressive class structure, right? Yeah. Like, we've read books about Orlais, and we don't just go to the fancy parts. Sometimes you go to the little towns. They're just like any other town. And yet Orlais presents itself as though this is just like how everyone's living.
Oh, I thought you were about to be like Les Miserables kind of towns where it's like, people like covered in mud and
no. I just mean like you know, we heard about like, oh, I come from like a rural town and it's just like a normal town, but then they have like this super fucking lavish areas, and Orlais presents itself as though that's the norm. But anyway, we make it to this guy's mansion and he's already sitting down, and we have a nice chat about what he knows about these carriers that were killed.
Welcome, my friend.
Welcome.
Can you show your face?
Please, sit.
Is my staff going through the chair? Like, we can't see it going through the chair, but it just has to be.
We appreciate your help, Comte.
What did you just call him?
Comte.
Who's sending these assassins? The Duke Parakeets.
The Duke Parakeets? The fucking parakeets.
We're gonna kill the parakeets in the middle of the night.
That will take time, during which the House of Repose will be obliged to hunt.
Will they now? You are exceedingly well informed.
Was there ever a count?
Oh, wait, is he an assassin?
I think he's an assassin.
Was there ever a count?
Does Comte Boisvert actually exist?
I feel like we need to, like, get rid of this guy. Should we say, don't move?
Yeah, don't move.
The House of Repose has some nerve sending a killer to greet us.
Hardly anyone in the League isn't trained for this, Inquisitor.
He's so, like, blasé about this. So unusual. Like, I'm here to kill you.
No.
It is appreciated, monsieur.
This is the most your calm
assassination.
The revoker orders is an interesting one. I wish you luck.
It was the do parakeets, Manny.
The two parakeets.
You were so pleased by this.
Because the way he said the two parakeets, I'm like, two parakeets? What? Like, I'm just imagining we must kill the two parakeets. And it's like two parakeets on like a little bird cage, like a fancy bird cage. Like it has curtains that draw, and they're also wearing masks.
Oh, and then midway through the conversation, this guy is clearly like trying to steer us away from resolving the situation as Josephine wants to. And she gets very suspicious about why he knows so much information. And it becomes clear that this guy is an imposter who's in on it. So he gets up to leave. And as he gets up, Xandrian like gets up also and stands in his way very... It felt like if you're fighting, having like a fight in a bar, and he just like gets up and like blocks the way. It's like, huh? You talking to my woman? Like, that's what I get from him.
True. That's it. That's how it feels.
May we conclude with my departure?
I mean, he wants to assassinate us.
Let's kill him.
You're dead.
Not on your life. As you wish.
No, I just love this. I love whenever this happens in any sort of media where someone just throws a smoke bomb at the bottom and then like just smoke envelops and he gets away.
He's like, as you wish.
He just throws a smoke bomb on the ground. It's just so funny. And not only is it a smoke bomb, it's like, why is there electricity coming out of it before it even hits?
It's very Dragon Age type of electricity. And then as the smoke clears, or I don't even know if the smoke clears, but we turn around and there are these like these just ninjas, these ninja harlequins that just pop down from the ceiling.
It's ninja harlequins.
Oh, see, you're
oh my god, some fucking Cirque du Soleil bastards are in here trying to kill us.
Oh, let's try out our new sword.
Oh. Look at that. Look at that.
Oh, and Vivienne has one too, because she's also a knight enchanter.
We'll deal with these assassins.
And here I thought there'd be no fighting.
I have some thoughts. Let's discuss them back at Skyhold.
Do you hear something?
Mm. Oh, goodness. Comte Poivre, is that you? Oh, the lock's been
broken. Oh, no.
Off. We'll find a saw. Mm. I realize the cabinet is quite valuable, Comte, but surely. A. Oh. Locksmith, then? As you wish.
Affirmative muffled yelling. Alright.
Do we have to find the locksmith?
So we defeat the Cirque du Soleil bastards.
We do, followed by a very funny scene.
A very funny scene where the real Comte is in the cabinet. And he doesn't want us to break his beautiful cabinet. Such pretension. Like,
yeah, this is definitely a representation of... how important these material things are to them.
It's like, oh my god, my priceless antique, no!
But meanwhile, someone kidnapped you and is pretending to be you and is, like, fighting in your room with magic and explosions.
It's like, it's just ridiculous. Just buy another fucking dresser, whatever the hell
Man,
it is.
Man, it's expensive. You can't just buy another dresser.
Oh, it's expensive? Maybe it would be so expensive if he didn't fucking buy this giant-ass house that you live in.
This is what's important to him, Manny. It's fine, Manny. We'll get a locksmith, and we can get him out and not destroy the dresser. Well, anyway, it's a funny scene, Manny. But we make it back to Skyhold and talk to Josephine, who's a little rattled, and try to figure out what to do next.
Between our soldiers and spies... Skyhold's safer than anywhere else in Phaedus.
Can we switch out of that costume?
Yes, the problem persists. I've tracked down the last du parakeets. They can annul the contract on my life. It's so like you to take the longest course of action, even when your life is at
stake. Wait, Liliana?
There is a faster way, Josephine. The original contract on your life, if my agents infiltrate it and destroy the original, the assassin will have no obligation to chase you.
Yeah, why don't we just destroy it?
So you want to agree with Liliana?
What would make Josephine happier?
I mean, probably agreeing with Josephine would make Josephine happy.
Let's agree with Josephine.
But what if Liliana's right? And, like, there's another assassination attempt?
Let's go with Liliana.
If destroying the original contract will satisfy the guild, I say we do it.
But I'm sure my plan will work, Inquisitor. Whatever happens, I'll assign you more guards.
Oh, I see. So dispatching Liliana's assassins is optional.
Oh.
So we have two optional choices here.
Yeah.
One, we either go with Josephine's way of doing everything diplomatically because she likes to do everything by the book, like Commissioner Gordon. And
I knew you were going to reference Batman.
And Liliana's like, well, we could do a sneaky, and, you know, kill people. Like I don't know.
Like Catwoman. We've already established that Talia is Batman.
Yes.
And we agree with Liliana.
Yeah. Because, like,
you know.
Why not? Just do it. Just go.
Clearly, the diplomatic plan's not working.
Yeah.
What if they send more assassins after Josephine and we're not there?
Sometimes you can't do it by the book. Sometimes you just gotta.
Yeah. Unless you're cooking.
You always gotta do that by the book. You always gotta do that by the book.
Yeah. The way this ends, basically, like, I don't know if it depends. I don't know if you have to agree with Liliana, but after the cutscene ends, you can still go with Josephine's way by continuing with Josephine, but then there's like an optional war table mission to do it the Liliana way. And that's what we decided to do. Yes. So we go to the war room.
But should we speak with Josephine about the next move, or should we dispatch Liliana's assassins?
Let's kill those bastards. That's the easiest thing to do.
All right, so we'll dispatch assassins. Let's go to the war room.
So we'll dispatch, and then we'll go to the hawk thing.
Yeah, and then we'll come back, and we'll find out the news about how that went. Mm-hmm. It's like a nice little sandwich. Hmm. Oh, also, before we go out, I do want to do one last thing.
Okay.
I made a quick Google search.
Okay.
And you can change your outfit in Skyhold.
Oh, finally. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, I like Night's Watch.
That looks like a pirate.
At the end here, we go ahead and change our outfit, so we're no longer in our little knight suit.
No, we're in a pirate suit, in a way.
Should we describe it?
Yeah, let's describe it. So it's like, it's purpley? It's kind of, it's like a
blue purple.
Yeah, it's like a shade of purple. This purple jacket with no sleeve, like a vest, like a very long vest. And then underneath is like an orangey or brown or reddish, like shirt.
Yeah, and the way it sticks out, it has an interesting collar, which is kind of what makes it look piratey to me.
Mm.
Not collar, but like sticks out of the chest a bit. Like, does he have a spiky purse? I don't know how to.
Does he have a purse or is that like a satchel?
He has like little like a holster,
like a utility belt
with like
kind of
daggers
thing.
In it,
like an old utility,
like Batman,
It all comes back together.
Yeah. But that's going to be our new outfit.
Yeah. It's,
now that we're...
now that we're ready to sail the high seas.
And now that we've done all this, we should head over to Crestwood. That's where the mission says Hawk's Warden Ally, which we know can change depending on your decisions. And we got the least exciting one, which is Stroud. But it's time to go over to Crestwood. So we head on back to the war room. And we're gonna unlock this place.
Find the warden.
For finding the warden secrets.
Hawk has revealed that Cripheus can influence the minds of Grey Wardens. If the Darkspawn brings them under his sway, he'll command a legion of highly skilled warriors.
Between the Marquis and the Dowager.
I'm talking.
It's parting in Hightown.
Alright, venture forth. Who do we want? I know Blackwall.
Let's bring Blackwall. Let's bring Cole.
Wait, no, we should bring Varric. Because Hawk might be there.
Oh, then we'll bring Varric. Solas. Harding in Hightown.
You know, maybe we should bring Solas, because if we're going to be talking about Corypheus, he seems to know, like, the most about Corypheus.
True.
All right. Ooh. Oh, boy. This place looks fun.
We arrive at Crestwood, which just feels like the extension of that other place we went to.
The Fallow Mire.
This just looks like the coast of the Fallow Mire.
It does. It's a little less dark. Like, I feel like the other place was, it was like literally like the sky was black.
Yeah.
Whereas with this, it's more like rainy, stormy.
Yeah.
Whereas the other one, literally, you felt like you were in the depths of an
abyss.
You know
what this is? This is the stormed coast mixed with the Fallow Mire.
Yeah, I totally get that. Because it is stormy.
Yes.
And it's dark and drab. And there's this huge lake in the middle. I don't know if it's in the middle. There's a huge lake. Yeah. And in the middle of the lake, there's this like fade rift green smoke coming out from under the water. It's very menacing.
This is one of my fears, is a lake this large.
Really? You're afraid of a lake this large?
Because you know what it is? I'm so used to lakes being where I'm able to see to the other side of where the lake ends.
Oh, so it's just so such a large lake that you can't even see the other side?
Yeah,
it's like, what's on why the... is that scary?
I don't know.
How is that any scarier than an ocean? And you love the ocean.
I know, an ocean's different because it's so vast. And it's just like, oh.
But this is vast.
This is vast, but it's vast, but it's contained within a...
So what is it like?
I don't
like
know.
The Truman Show? Is that why you're afraid
of it? No, because you know what it is?
It's like what's the ocean ends and there's just a wall.
Like what's underneath it? What lives in this enclosed... lake? Area.
Well, we're actually going to find out what's underneath it.
Exactly.
In this one. This is Crestwood. And as always, when we first enter a new area, Harding is there. And she's going to tell us all about the place.
Crestwood was the site of a flood 10 years ago during the Blight. It's not the only rift in the area. But after it appeared, corpses started walking out of the lake.
Oh, that's normal. That's called,
it happens.
It's called speed dating if you were Viandrea. All right.
And this is...
Still Horrors.
Oh, I think that's like the like mission with the undead.
The undead people coming out.
So we can do that on the way.
Okay.
The girl I fancy has an assassination attempt against her.
Oh.
I'm gonna do everything I fucking can to stop it, and now I have to run through this skeleton infested nightmarish area.
A corpse archer? They can't.
Corpse archer? What are you gonna see with?
You have no eyes.
Fucking die, you worthless bag of bones. Oh, I love that when they get near me, I can, like, just slash them with a sword now.
Just slap them.
With the undead coming out of the water, it's exactly like the Foul Mire.
Yeah, that's also an... Why does every creepy place have undead coming out of the water?
I think it's just too much... It's pollution. I
feel like at that point, it feels less like magic and more like science. Like, if it's so predictable, like if it's...
You're losing me. This is the same thing that happened when I watched Thor. Your people call it magic. And then our people call it science or something like that.
Well, what I'm saying is that, like, you had the same result twice of this, like, undead coming out of the water due to fade nonsense. I feel like... That can't be a coincidence. There has to be like some sort of formula that leads to this
I think
outcome.
If the fade like thingy rift touches water, just
undead pop out.
Undead pop out. It is science or magic. It's one and the same, Brandon.
It's one and the same.
It's one and the same.
Science is like magic.
No, it's not.
If you think about it.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not. Science doesn't allow me to jump into chalk paintings, Brandon.
But why is... But you know what science does allow you to do, Manny?
What does it allow me to do?
It allows you to breathe in oxygen for sustenance and turn it into a magical life-bringing energy.
Stop.
And water.
No. That's just science. That's science.
That's what I'm saying.
Magic... means
it's
that
magic. It's a miracle of life.
No, magic goes beyond science. Magic is unexplainable. I feel like that's what magic.
There are elements to science that we can't explain yet.
Well, like
quantum physics.
Fine, but magic. Magic is something that
Manny,
I can control.
A proton is both a particle and energy or whatever the fuck.
I still can't fly with a broomstick, Brandon. That's magic.
I think you're just closing your mind to only the definitions of magic that you see in
media. Then why isn't Hogwarts called School of Science? Because the...
How is that at all? The person who named it that is a fucking transphobe. I don't think she gives a shit about science.
You got me there. You got me there.
But anyway, I don't even remember where we're at.
We're about to arrive in Crestwood.
Yeah.
Speak to Crestwood's mayor. Oh, this is like the side quest.
Crestwood's mayor. Every time I think of a mayor, I think of, like, an old-fashioned mayor. Like, he has a top hat and, like, a handlebar mustache.
We're like, welcome to Crestwood.
Welcome to Crestwood, sir.
Hello, mayor. Where's your top hat?
The Inquisitor. Oh, Mayor Dedrick of Crestwood Village. At your service, despite everything.
Hello, Dedrick.
Are you here to stop the undead?
No, I'm here to help. We will,
right? I'm here to get you a fucking light.
It's coming from the caves below Old Crestwood.
Crestwood.
Darkspawn flooded it 10 years ago during the Blight. Wiped out the village, killing the refugees.
They drove a Mazda into a water tower.
So what a dam. If we use it to drain the lake, I can get to that Fade Rift.
There must be some other way.
We need that lake, people.
Where else am I supposed to step and make undead
appear? You'd
have to
evict the bandits in the old fort to use the dam.
The word mayor, I could only imagine a man with a handlebar mustache and a top
yeah.
hat and a sash that says mayor. I think Powerpuff you know, Girls ruined that for me.
Yeah, exactly. What's interesting is I feel like a lot of portrayals of mayors are often incompetent.
All mayors are incompetent. Not
incompetent
well,
or corrupt.
In media. Yeah, they're either incompetent or corrupt. So, like, you either have, you know, the mayor of Townsville, who's incompetent.
Yeah.
There's also the mayor from Jaws, who is also incompetent. He's like, oh, there's no mm-hmm. shark. Go to the beach.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely corrupt mayor. I can't think of them off the top of my head. Probably, like, Riverdale or something.
Oh, wait, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I think the mayor is literally evil. Yeah, he's evil.
He's like an evil being.
He's like an evil being that turns into a giant snake.
So you have the mayor, and he tells us that in order to get to the rift, or rather we figure out that if we can get to the rift by draining the dam, but he says that in order to control the dam, the building that controls it is controlled by bandits. And so we got to make our way over.
This is so depressing. Look at this.
God, who would want to live here? This is like Seattle.
Andraste guides you.
Andraste does guide me. I'm the herald. Are you doubting that Andraste guides me?
Are you doubting the fate?
I think Andraste will hear about this. You know what? I think I'll make a call to the maker right now and tell him what I saw.
Ring, ring, ring. Here. Ring, ring, ring. Oh, it's ringing.
Ring, oh, it's ringing. Ring, 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 ring. You gotta clean
Hello?
Up your act before the raker picks up.
Mr. Maker? Yes.
Mr. Maker. Oh, yes. Oh, thank you. I know I've been doing an excellent job. Listen, I just spoke to Sister...
Sister, what's your name? Well, you'll know who she is because the stench of just disappointment will radiate off of her.
All right, so I just spoke to the maker. He's going to curse you. He's going to...
This is how I sound like when I call, when I pretend to call Santa Claus on my nephews and nieces. And it's like, ring, 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 hello, Santa?
Santa? I won't tell Mrs. Claus you said that.
Oh, Santa.
Call me later, Santa. Anyway, so Santa's doing well. He's not going to make any of your presents, but he's going to give them all to me instead. Okay. So I'm gonna love to play with my new red truck that you don't have. How do I get to this location?
I don't. Oh, there's a cave.
I can't get in.
Oh, that's the... Oh, I don't know then.
It said keep must be claimed. Oh, here we go.
On the ramparts. Good defenses.
I love this idea that Xandrian just calls up the maker to threaten people.
And like, how do you imagine he calls him? Does he like actually take a cell phone out or uses his like staff?
Oh yeah, because they don't have cell phones.
They would just like be like his like little giant glowy thing at the end of the staff. Like, oh, want me to call Maker? I'm gonna call Maker right now.
He's putting his staff to his
mouth. And he's like,
hello.
He's like, hello. And he pretends like that. Like there's like a fake voice.
He makes it like shine like a voice.
It's like, hello, Xandrian, my boy. Hello, Maker. I always use that against my nephews and nieces because it was always used against me.
Oh, this is just like a cycle of trauma.
Just a cycle of trauma of just like, Santa Claus or or Chucky, come kill Annie.
Chucky?
I've had Chucky called on me.
Your parents are
no, my sister. My sisters.
I was gonna say that as soon as I said that, I was like, it was probably your sister.
My sisters.
So she pretended to call Chucky.
Yeah, she pretended to call Chucky as if Chucky was like someone would, you know, she would literally send
who
Chucky
who takes hits.
Takes hits. Like, hey, can you come kill my brother in his sleep?
Oh my god, what were you doing that caused her to threaten you?
I was just bothering her. I think I was just like in the room, or I was being annoying.
And she was just like, I'll call Chucky. That is very that is very harsh.
It's very hard. That's why this.
Were you legitimately like, oh my god, Chucky's gonna come kill me?
I literally thought Chucky was going to kill me. I thought Chucky was Chucky was always used as a threat. Or the threat that I got from my parents that's like supernatural was that if I said anything bad, a snake would come out of my mouth.
Oh yes, there were lots of things like that, like but that one's particularly magical.
That one's magical.
I got the combination. I was threatened that Santa would come kill me.
That Santa was gonna kill
no,
you.
I'm kidding.
Oh my god.
I'm kidding. Santa, yes, I don't want prisons. I want you to kill
my son.
Instead. That's what you do with the naughty list, right?
Yeah, you kill them.
I would never get a child Cole.
Why?
It smells.
Like, just don't give him...
Who am I punishing here?
Like, just don't give him presents. That's all you have to do. Just don't give
him... No, you still get the presents. You just put your own name on it.
And be like,
oh... Like, oh, there's nothing here for you. What did I get?
What did I get? Oh, a Nintendo GameCube? I can't wait to play this.
I was gonna say a Nintendo DS. I don't know what... Like, old Nintendo consoles.
Oh my god, it's so
I got
funny.
A new Fisher-Price piano set.
Piano set. Look, I'm gonna play the
oh, so much fun. I'm learning about music too.
The Heart and Soul song, I think that's what it's called.
What?
You know the song that
the song is like better better better.
No.
That Heart and Soul song.
No. What's the fucking one that everyone
gotta
plays on a piano?
Heart and Soul.
The one that goes like boom 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 boom, boom and a doo 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 doo.
I have no clue what that's called.
I don't know what it's called, but it's everyone play. Whenever someone gets a fucking piano, that's the first, like a child, because it's so simple to play for a child.
I just imagine the first song you teach to a child learning piano is The Heart and Soul.
Oh my god. Anyway.
We reached the dam, but it's closed off. You can't get in. And when you try to open it, it says to like claim the keep instead. And this becomes not like running mechanic, but it happens a few times in the game where there will be like a keep, like some sort of like fortress that's overrun by bandits or demon, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the chance to rid the keep of these people. So it's a cool like mechanic as a way to explore various areas and feel like you're like claiming things.
Yeah.
So we get to do it.
Yeah.
Are we supposed to break the door down?
I'll break the fucking door.
I'll use it with my fucking sword.
I'm gonna fucking break the
door down. I'm here to kill you all.
Domino's. The delivery's here.
This is intense. Look at this place.
Some intense fucking music.
Oh.
Archer. Let me throw out this,
What do you show on FX?
Archer on FX?
That's on FX, right?
Yes, it is on FX.
I watched the first few seasons of Archer. I enjoyed it.
Ah, it's now...
It's funny.
It's an official Disney product now.
Oh, there's nothing more Disney than Archer.
You want ants, right? This is how you get ants. That's all I know from Archer.
That is the thing. They have a lot of, like, running jokes. Beric! Little bear!
Little bear!
Is this a kunari they have? Good for you.
Good for you.
Equal opportunity employment. Right now, what do we do? Look! We get to claim the keep.
Claim it!
Finally, we can claim something important instead of just like a fucking statue in the middle of a town that people are hanging out next to. Alright, place Inquisition flag.
Ooh, there's a lot of people here.
We have like a base here.
So the keep is ours.
It is, and it is like, we got a whole operation here. You got Inquisition people and like blacksmiths and tables to do like potions and stuff.
It's like tables, chairs, maybe a couch.
It's very nice, though, and I feel like we really earned it. Like, we had a fight for it.
Yeah.
Oh, we had it's a cool sequence. I like when this happens.
We kill people and put a flag up that we happen to have.
That we just carry with us. And just in case. I mean, we carry those other things we claim, those huge-ass spikes.
That's magic. We just, like...
That we just put in front of random shit.
That's how you could describe how things just magically come out of nowhere. Just say it's magic.
Well, isn't that how we explained how Talia would spin her daggers and jewels would suddenly appear? Because we said Bethany was, like, summoning her.
Yeah.
/ sending her from home.
It'd be like, oh, I have to fight again.
But then she became a warden. And I guess then we were like, we taught Anders how to do it.
Yeah,
I guess.
Anders knows how, because Jules loves Anders.
Jules loves that guy.
Yeah.
So misguided. So the keep is ours, and now we can finally enter the dam because we control this area. This feels very like we're on a conquest now. I kind of feel dirty about it.
You know what I'm thinking about? A random thought in my head.
Yeah.
Because when I think of dams,
mm-hmm.
I think of beavers. And
yeah, go on.
And I want to know who was the first to make a dam. Was it a human or was it a beaver?
So did beavers invent?
Did the beaver invent the dam?
I don't know, but I would guess that beavers were the first.
And then we just
or maybe something else.
And then you know what? Then we copied an animal.
We always do that. First of all, we are animals.
We are animals, true.
But second of all, we're always copying animals.
Yes.
Like, we learned about dams from beavers. We learned about, procreation.
From multiple different animals.
We learned about how to be gay from penguins. So we gotta head to the dam. And when we get inside, there's this, like, couple there that's just... Like, I don't know what they're supposed to be doing, but as soon as we get there, they're like, oh my god. Like, they act like we caught them doing something naughty.
All right, now we gotta go to the door that leads to the dam.
Welcome to the Rusted Horn.
Oh, hi.
Morton!
The Inquisitor? We didn't know you were here, sir. Yeah. Please don't tell anyone.
Why the secrecy?
Lonnie's mom and dad think I'm bad for her.
Oh!
Just keep having sex here, I don't give a shit. I'm just passing.
Yeah, Just fuck. I'm not gonna watch.
Just keep going. I'm just walking by. I can even give you tips. We did it.
Wait, this is us draining the lake?
Yeah, that's the dam.
Oh.
With faces going, ah.
Ah, I'm vomiting everywhere.
That sounds like it worked.
And we drained the lake?
We do. It's not much of a, like an issue, I guess, because we already fought so much to claim the keep. They were just kind of like, turn a crank. It's like, fine.
It's like, oh my god, this lake that we've had for 10 years. How do we get rid of it? It just turned fucking
just turn the crank.
Just do boom.
You could have done this like 10 years ago.
You could have done this 10 years ago.
Like, I guess the excuse is that the bandits were there, but how long were the bandits really there? 10 years?
Has anyone even visited this place? Like, they could have killed the bandits within 10 years.
They weren't that bad. I mean, maybe because we're just so strong.
So strong and everyone's so weak. And probably the only, like, citizens of this town are the two couple people, the mayor and the naughty nun lady who doesn't deserve the maker's love.
Yeah, no wonder we kept the keep to ourselves.
Yeah.
It's like, we can protect this place and use it for our means.
Mm-hmm.
But we drain the dam. And I like also that the crank to do it is, like... It's like a crank that's on the ground and you turn it horizontally. It's very much like Ratchet and Clank.
It's like it's a floodgate. Floodgate. Or
are they always like that?
I think they're horizontal.
Is that a thing?
I think so. The thing that, they are horizontal.
Oh, yes.
I learned this from 30 Rock because they had a joke where they're like, you're doing this. He's like, what are you doing? You're opening the floodgates. It's like with the horizontal, like. The horizontal crank is like, floodgates, guys, are horizontal.
Oh my gosh. Okay, there you go. We make it down to the bottom of the lake now that we can, and we find our way to Old Crestwood, the demolished town.
All right, we gotta get to the rift in the middle.
The rift in the middle.
Wow, we really drained the lake so quickly. All this was down there? This does not look like the bottom of a seafloor.
This looks like...
Actually, is this seaweed?
Oh.
Old Crestwood. drowned during the blight. Find an entrance to the flooded caves. Oh! Claim. This is mine, too.
This is mine, the mayor's old house.
And now it's my house.
My house. We we serve spirits all day long.
Oh, cave entrance.
So we're in the demolished town. And there's, I'm guessing, seaweed everywhere.
Yeah. You know what? There's a little green plant.
Or a little town that's been underwater for 10 years. These structures have stayed intact.
I actually did think that too.
Like, they're not.
Like, I didn't verbalize it, but it's like, they're pretty good.
They're pretty good. I mean, and it looks like they're made of wood. Like they.
They do, yeah.
Like, so are you telling me that this wooden yurt was underwater for 10 years and did not lose its, you know,
yeah,
structure?
Like, I wonder if this is an artistic choice. Like, if you were to do this to a town, what would happen to these structures?
Well, even so, like, with the draining, just the pull of the draining would probably knock some of these things down.
Would probably do something. Because it drained quickly.
Yeah. So if it drained quickly, that means that it went fast. Which means that the water rushing out of the drains was so fucking fast that it would have had
unless there was a time skip.
Unless there was a time skip. I don't know.
Like, let's go back to the keep. Let's go sit in some of our new tables and
like,
and chairs.
Why, like,
and
why isn't there like fucking fish flopping around?
Was this this lake was created 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So would there be fish?
I mean, I don't know. I've seen places that get flooded in real life, and I've seen fish in like an abandoned mall that got flooded.
Where'd the water come from?
I don't know.
The other side of the dam, I guess.
I guess. Like, I don't know how.
I don't understand.
I don't know how fish end up in lakes.
I don't know enough about nature to accurately answer these questions.
I mean, there was fucking seaweed. Like, I'm just imagining, just like, there should be fish in here.
There's undead here. We know that.
They are the fish.
That's what you don't find fish in lakes in the Dragon Age universe. You just find undead corpses.
You just go on a fishing trip and you just pull out like a fucking skeleton biting.
I got one.
I got one.
That's what they still have fishing, but it's just to catch undead. Anyway, we do find a cave entrance, and this is where we have to dive down the depths of to find a Fade Rift, which is very conveniently placed. There's literally just a cave right next to this town.
And now, would you think this cave was also flooded too, right?
I guess it was underwater.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like the cave should have more water.
It should have, or be at least more moist.
But we travel in, and when we're in there, there's also spirits roaming around, and there's some around the town too, which are like fiery red spirits wandering.
All right. Oh, look at all these spirits. Why do they look like they're on fire?
Let's find that fake rift.
Light. Light. Give me power. Light.
Light.
Is that Minnie?
Yes.
Light.
Queen Minnie. Radiant as always. She's a fucking mouse.
Hey, mice can be radiant.
But they're stupid lady in waiting. What's a lady in waiting?
What?
Wait, that's what Daisy is.
Lady in waiting?
Yeah. A lady in waiting, or court lady, is a female personal assistant.
There you go.
Okay, so Daisy basically. So let's say. So although she may have.
So either, Daisy is Minnie's personal assistant.
She's like, a lady in waiting was considered more of a secretary, courtier, or companion to her mistress rather than a servant.
All right. Well, we're once. Potion short, no one go dying.
Oh, don't worry, isn't that what we're here to do, to close this thing?
Yeah.
Oh, so we're almost there.
We're almost there, people. Don't do anything idiotic. Alright, we did it!
Yay! Inform the mayor!
What's with the music? You broke it.
Finally, I'm free!
Alright, let's go back to the mayor.
The mayor. John Mayor.
How do I do that? Oh, do I have to exit first?
Yeah.
Do I have to go all the way back up?
Yes.
Is there no shortcut entrance like they always have in video games where it's like there's another exit right by the boss?
I wish.
We destroy the Fade Rift because we're amazing.
We do.
And then we get out. And it's daytime.
It is. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. As if like a spell was broken.
The Fade Rift is very powerful, man.
And it's just like, you've released us from our torment. We are now able to move on, and all the spirits fly into the sky, and the sun comes out.
And I'm looking at this town in the daylight, and I'm noticing there is still water.
Yes.
Behind it. So I guess there is still, like, a lake beyond what we've drained.
I think there is a lake.
And there's a big dam.
There's a dam. So in that lake, there must be fish.
There must be. But it's daytime now, and we head on back to the mayor in the daylight. But he's not there. And he has a letter for us when we arrive.
It's daytime. We broke
the
curse.
It's sunny. That
old tower in the lake is scary.
Oh, don't worry. Sandal, wherever you are, we brightened up a spot in the world in your honor.
It says he was the one who flooded old Crestwood 10 years ago to stop the blight from spreading.
Oh!
I knew he was nervous about more than the undead.
That sorry bastard. He left before he could get caught.
That's awful.
I knew there was something wrong with him.
I flooded the city myself in order to stop the blight. And how'd that work for you?
And I'd do it again.
This mayor is a double whammy.
Remember what we said, that every mayor
is either corrupt or incompetent. Well, why don't you have a mayor that's both?
I wonder, was he incompetent or did he just not want to solve this problem due to being corrupt?
Maybe, I don't know.
But that's so fucked up. Like, there are dead people coming alive and attacking the air. Like, this place is uninhabitable.
I'm guessing he never evacuated the people before flooding it.
I'm guessing, because it implies that, like, a bunch of people died. Because it was like the Darkspawn did it, is kind of what they made it sound like. Yeah. And these, like, the sole survivors were left.
Like, he couldn't evacuate his people from the town. You could have built a shelter, like, with your amazing fucking architecture here, because even this goddamn...
Yeah, clearly you know what you're doing.
You knew what you were doing. So you could have built, like, 5 yurts, put everyone in those 5 yurts, and then flood the town, but everyone would still be alive.
Ugh.
And then...
Yeah, I can't claim to know how to run a town.
And then...
But I know enough to know that he fucked up.
Then Brandon, he could have drained the town once the blight was over.
Like right after. That's what I'm thinking. Why did he wait 10 years? I can't imagine the bandits were holding up this place for 10 years.
He's incompetent. He didn't know what to do.
He is. But we did his job for him. It's too late now. I mean, the town's still uninhabitable. But at least we got rid of the undead. And that's our happy ending. We're not actually going to end up making it to Seahawk and Stroud this episode, because we spent so much time trying to save Crestwood. And so we decided, instead of doing that, we're going to make our way back to the war table and see how Leliana was able to fare with destroying the contract on Josephine.
Inquisitor, it has been done. The House of Repose hid themselves well, but a small group of our agents destroyed the contract on Josephine's life, and also found some interesting information on future targets. Josephine will not be happy we took this route, but I would rather suffer her displeasure than her passing.
Oh, let's talk to her.
Sorry for going with Leliana. But they don't want to kill you anymore.
They don't want to Look at that, Josie.
I must return to Valrayo to see that everything is in order. Please join me when you can.
Oh.
Oh, we have to
actually go there.
I like that Josephine is right there. She's just like, come to Valrayo.
I'll meet
Goodbye.
You. Goodbye. And we're just like, but we're here. We're talking to you right now. Why can't you just tell us now?
She's like, I'm busy. Like, I don't... The same thing happened in the beginning when we went to Valrayo. Like, we couldn't go together even. Like, we had to meet her there. Now she's like, meet me there.
But why does she have to meet us there? Unless she... Well, I think she had to, like, do something at Valrayo.
Maybe she likes the trip, like, the lone trip. Maybe she likes her alone time.
She likes it. You know what? Everyone's allowed their alone time.
So maybe, you know, it's fine. Whatever she wants. We respect it.
We do end up going to Valrayo at her request.
Yes.
20 miles. To go have a conversation.
Speaking of in Dragon Age Origins, when it was like, it's going to take you 2 weeks to get right over there. And now it's just like, meet me over at Valrio.
Like as if
just
it were
the next
like,
country over.
Like as if you were going to the mall. It's like, I'll meet you at Valrio.
And literally. Maybe since we have more resources, we're not just like traveling by foot like we were in Origins. Maybe it's like, oh, you take a horse and carriage. Maybe it's quicker. But we meet her there and we're by this beautiful waterside area.
Yeah.
It's like a dock.
Yeah, it's a dock. There's some statues in the distance and mountains in the distance as well. So it's a very beautiful looking area.
Oh, this is so beautiful.
I would come here on a date.
I read Liliana's report. The contract on your life has been destroyed.
And thus we outwit the House of Repose.
What should we say? I thought you'd be pleased. At least you're safe.
At least you're safe.
At least you're safe.
It's an unpleasant business, but you're safe now.
Did I ever mention I used to be a bard?
Oh.
I can't imagine you doing that.
I can't imagine you doing that, yeah.
You seem a bit steady for such an outgoing lifestyle.
The life of an entertainer didn't suit me at all. During one particular
incident, you're funny. I could see you do stand-up.
I encountered the bard sent to kill my daughter. We fought. Or perhaps scrapped is the better word.
You were only defending yourself.
But it was such a waste, Inquisitor. When I took off his mask, I knew him. We'd attended parties together. If I'd stopped to reason, if I'd used my voice instead of scuffling like a common thug, I'll always wonder who that young man would have grown into.
Oh. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Forgive me. I don't believe I ever thanked you for helping me with this.
You don't need to. Is that the love?
You don't need to. It is.
I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
Well, if you meant to draw a blush to my cheeks, you've completely succeeded.
Oh.
Let's return to Skyhold before anyone notices.
Oh, look at these two.
The love is beginning to blossom into...
Look at these two. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you say my suggestions?
I feel sun through the ashes in the sky.
Thus ends a bit of a romantic episode of Enchantment Inquisition.
It's as romantic as we can get for right now.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. We had lovely moments with Josie.
We had Josephine moments last episode too, right?
We did. Yeah, it's just a growing love affair that's just going to blossom into a beautiful relationship, hopefully.
I'm so thankful that she's situated where she is, right by the war room, because then we get to have lots of excuses to see her and talk to her. If she wasn't sitting there, we might not have gotten this mission.
Exactly. We probably would never have been as close to her.
Like, if we were with Cassandra, she's so out of the way, you'd have to really want to see her.
This relationship already feels like the most healthiest relationship that we've had.
We
had Stevan and Zevran, which it felt more like sex than anything.
Yeah, he was very emotionally unavailable.
Yeah. And then we had Talia and Anders, which looked fine on paper until he became a terrorist boyfriend.
Yeah, and then he had secrets he was holding and coercing us into doing dastardly deeds for him.
Yeah.
He was also pretty emotionally unavailable, too. He was like, no one can love me. And we were like, it's fine. I do. It's fine.
Yeah. And then we have this one where it's just like, it's just too... Just a cute couple, just
like getting to know each other,
just getting to know puppy love.
I love the idea that like Zandrian is like he's this sort of like fighter and he's kind of a fish out of water when it comes to leading in this way, and Josephine is sort of the more seasoned, like she has an understanding of politics, and I feel like he can grow from, you know, like being close with her and learning from her. It's nice. Like, I feel like they lift each other up to be their best selves.
Exactly.
You know?
And it's beautiful. I love them together. They deserve all the love. They deserve...
They are truly a power couple.
Yeah.
Which we don't normally get. And she just revealed that she's a bard. I've said in the past that I like that Josephine doesn't fight.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like she did in the past, but she doesn't like it. It's not for her.
It's not for her. She likes being, you know, she likes writing down, doing, you know, doing things by the book.
Right, which is why I kind of, maybe I feel a little bit bad that we went with the Liliana assassin approach, but it's fine. But yeah, that's our episode. And I believe next time we will finally get the opportunity to see Hawk and Stroud.
Yeah.
Stroud, the character everyone's waiting for.
It's so excited to see Stroud. There's like people like complaining right now at the end of this podcast. Like, I thought I was going to see Stroud.
I was promised Stroud.
I was promised Stroud and you didn't give him to me. I'm unsubscribing. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I can't wait a week. For Stroud?
For Stroud?
Does Stroud have a catchphrase that we could rename our podcast after like we did with Sandal?
I don't know.
Like, welcome to, I'm Grey Warden. No, you can't talk to Bethany. Like, what does he even say?
I don't know. Does Stroud even say anything of note?
But anyway, this is our episode. Yes. Yay. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at EnchantmentCast. You can email us at EnchantmentPodcast@gmail.com. You can rate and review us at EnchantmentCast.com/Apple or wherever it is you listen. You can find us on Patreon, enchantmentcast.com/Patreon, where for $1 a month, you can find found footage of us playing the Dragon Age games. And for $5 a month, you can listen to bonus episodes in this format. You can also go to Discord, enchantmentcast.com/Discord, yes, where you can talk to us and others about Enchantment, Dragon Age, and whatever else you want. That's that.
That's that. You've been Brandon.
And you've been Manny.
And this is Enchantment.
Thank you for listening. And enjoy the rest of your stay in Seattle.